Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for these daily challenges, and today's Wednesday. So we take the topic we've explored at the beginning of this week, we see how the Bible's take on it challenges and transforms our thinking. Now we've been looking this week at a brand new series on neighbors, and we've introduced it with what Jesus said was the most important commandment in the law. The most important thing for his followers was to love God, love neighbor. It's a very short, pithy, memorable little saying that sums up the entirety of the law in the Bible. Some laws have to do with loving God first, some have to do with loving our neighbors, and there is some kind of a connection between the two that we want to explore today. Is there priority given to loving God or to loving neighbor, or are they both one priority commandment? I think we can go both ways on that. In one sense, they are one commandment. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest law? And he said, well, love God, love neighbor, and they are these two commandments are like one to another. The word like that Jesus used has a sense of equivalence, that they have the same stature, they have the same importance. However, I don't think it's that simple, where we can say loving God and loving our neighbor are both equally important, as if we could pick one or the other and they'd both be the same. I think they both have to go together. By loving God, we learn to love our neighbors. Well, for today, we're just going to look at the loving God part of what Jesus said was the greatest commandment. He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And many times you'll hear people add strength as well. It's very poetic. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a quote from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament part of the Bible. Something that would have been very familiar to any devout believing Jew. And it speaks to the entirety of devotion that was meant to be given to God. Love God with everything you've got. These aren't separate parts of us, they're just different ways of describing who we are, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. Love God with everything you have, because God has given you everything you have. It's all His, and it can all be directed back at Him. So that's what Jesus was reminding them of, this long-established truth from hundreds, thousands of years before they lived, that we are to love God with everything. We often want to hold something back. We can be very tempted to say, you know what, I'll love God on my terms. I'll love God with as much as I want to love God with, but I'm always going to hold something back. I'm going to hold back that part of my life. I'm willing to give God Sundays, but not Mondays. I'm willing to give God my time, but not my money. I'm willing to give God my intellectual assent that I believe some things happened in the past that have to do with Him, but I'm not willing to give Him my heart. I'm not willing to sign myself over to Him and to His way of life, to His teaching, to His commandments, to His Son, Jesus. Very often our unwillingness to completely love God with all that we are comes from our desire to love ourselves first. We want to love ourselves first, and we reserve a little bit of love for God or for others. It comes from us wanting to be our own gods, putting ourselves in that primary place at the center of our little universe where actually God belongs, but where we can delude ourselves into thinking we belong instead, that we are at the center of our little universe. Well, another temptation relating to loving God comes from wanting to put loving God and loving neighbor in opposition one to another. The people Jesus was challenging, the Pharisees, would probably have been tempted to do this, to focus so much on loving God and following all of God's commandments to a T, that they had a hard time loving others. They were so focused on making sure God's law was upheld and enforced that they could actually be quite heartless about how they enforced it. But love of God is meant to flow into love of neighbors. It's meant to be the example of what love for others can look like. When we love God and receive God's love in return, when we have a full experience of God's love, then we have the pattern set for loving others in God's way. You see, God defines love there. He gets to do it, not us. That can be so hard for us. So we so often want that extreme of saying, you know, I can do one or the other. I can either love God fully to the exclusion of everyone else. Or what I'll do is I will love everyone else in my own way. I will define love that I forget what it means to love and be loved by God. Both extremes are ways of putting ourselves at the center, of loving ourselves first. I love myself so much, and I love how religious I am and how good I am and how law-abiding I am that I can't love anyone else. Or I say, you know what, I love myself so much, and my definition of love and the way the world should be and what is good, that I just love everyone else by my own definition so much that I've left God out of the equation. Those are those two extremes that we're actually not made for. We're made for a third way, and we're going to explore that tomorrow. But in the meantime, I've got a question for you to consider. Can you define love? What is love in your definition? We'll look at a common one tomorrow, but I want you to just think first of all, and maybe share it with somebody else in your life, somebody from the train or bus or from work or from home. What is love? We'll have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.